Hey, thanks for joining me today. This is Kristen Cheetah, and this is my podcast. Today I'm going to be talking about four types of communication that we see and we'll find in marriage, and I think in other relationships as well. I mean, obviously we have communication in every relationship, but good communication, it's really the basis for all healthy relationships. And if you're married, you will know also that it, with me, that it's essentially foundational for a strong, thriving marriage to have really good communication. And there's several different kinds of communication or types of communication. And part of it that I'm just going to kind of unfold today is that not every conversation in your marriage is going to like set your heart ablaze or fill you with depth and insight. And I do think that when I came into marriage, I love deep conversations. And so I think that for me, I came in with this romantic idea of what it was going to be like to have these conversations with this husband of mine. And I learned quickly that not every conversation is going to be filled with depth and filled with insight and filled with romance. So if you found that out like I did, maybe I should have known that earlier on, but I really thought, I don't know, my parents had such a lovely marriage, and I felt like just watching them handle even day-to-day things, from a child's point of view, my parents' marriage looked just idyllic. And as I talk about several of these different types of conversations, I think I had some misconceptions of what it was going to look like to have communication in marriage. So I've learned a lot. So I'm going to just jump right in that into the first type of conversation. And just to be clear, there is a place for deep conversations. They just don't happen in that day-to-day, you know, just in the usual parts of the day, unless you're intentional about it. Most of our daily conversations are just, they're centered around schedules, appointments, kind of what's on the calendar and what are you looking forward to. So, and I will talk about those, wanting to go to those deep conversations and what you can do to really strengthen those in your marriage. So this first type of communication or conversations is just the informal conversations. These really establish a simple connection in couples without deep emotional intimacy. These are the kind of conversations that we would call small talk. What does your day look like today? Or how was your day? Or how are you feeling today? Those are those just quick questions. And, you know, you don't need a lot of information. You're just kind of taking a pulse. So that just this informal conversation. But I do think that we can add a little more depth to even these type of conversations with adding something like, hey, what was the best thing that happened to you today at work? Or if you stay home with the kids, your husband could say, hey, tell me something that was really special in your day with the boys today or the girls or the children today. And then also the opposite of that would be, what was something that you really struggled with today? Or what was the worst thing that happened? Another way to just take these informal conversations and kind of step it up would be, you know, hey, how can I pray for you today when you're at work? Or how could I pray for you before you head into that meeting? Or how could I pray for you, you know, fill in the blank. So even though these informal conversations are really, they're giving us information about one another. They don't involve too much time and thought. They're helping grow us in intimacy. But we can take them to that, like kind of that next step. So that's the first type, is this informal conversation. And obviously, if you have kids, you see this conversation, this level of conversation, I think, is at play a lot, especially when your kids get to school age. You know, I mean, it's the, hey, how was your day? Fine. What did you do today? Nothing. It's that small talk. So coming up with ways to engage your child's heart, and this is just a generalization, but I think generally, women go to deeper places more quickly than men do. So even in these informal conversations, maybe you as a mom or a wife can just kind of try to dig a little deeper than just that surface informal small talk. All right, number two is, this is really, actually, I love this. It's the administrative conversations. These are those very important conversations that help your family operate smoothly. And I think if you know, when you're single and you're just looking at you're figuring out your own plan, your own life, your own schedule, you can do it and you don't have to talk to anybody about it. And, you know, you just kind of run your life how you want. When you get married and then add on to that having children, and then as the kids get older and life gets a little more full, it is really imperative that we have these administrative conversations. So these conversations are really just, they're loaded with action points. So it's talking about the daily schedule. It is, what are the to-do lists? It's shopping lists. It's appointments, social functions, financial decisions, figuring out when the kids' activities are, what are church activities? Are there some events to attend? Do we have weddings or galas, or like are there any school dances? And this can be quite overwhelming until you figure out a system. And so if you don't have a system in place, I would really encourage you to spend some time kind of figuring out, how can I help my family run more efficiently, smoothly. Greg and I, many years ago, really established a plan, because we were finding out that I was planning things and he was planning things and we weren't talking about it. And so there was a lot of miscommunication and overlap, and we were double booked on things. And you know, that was just a whole lot of fun. So what we started doing, and we still do it, even though our kids are now all out of the house, we sit down on Sunday nights and we look over the week's calendar. And so we literally have a calendar. Like, I have the old school calendar. It's right now, I'm looking at it on my refrigerator, and I bring that calendar down and we look through, okay, what's happening this upcoming week. We get it written on the calendar. Greg usually brings his work laptop over, because he has all of his work stuff on his laptop. I literally just keep everything on a paper calendar. So we talk through, okay, what's coming up this week? What are your commitments? Are, you know, for him, he travels a lot. Are you in town? Are you out of town? When are you in town? Where are you going? What kind of meetings do I have? When is my work time scheduled out? Who am I meeting with? When is the prayer meeting this week? So it really helps us to just even take an overview of, okay, wow, this week is going to be really heavy, or we're not going to see each other a lot. So it helps even with just kind of getting things, my heart in place, his heart in place, kind of figuring out, all right, where do we have to be intentional about creating time for one another? Maybe we need to meet for lunch, or he'll work from home one morning if he's going to be gone a lot during the week, or if I'm going to be gone a lot during the week. So I do think that having the schedule, really looking at it, it helps your family with overcommitment. It helps with miscommunication about the schedules. And when our kids were old enough, they joined in on Sunday night, the Sunday night meeting. And really, we just got the old school calendar out. And then they were sharing with us what's on their kind of to-do list for school or for sports or the music, things that they were involved in, the drama, youth group, other activities that things they were volunteering in. And it just helped us to kind of just get a lay of the land and have the big picture as we looked toward that week. And when we knew things that were coming up, if, you know, when we got a wedding invitation in the mail and we knew, all right, in the month of May, we're going to have a wedding. We already got it on the calendar for the weekend so that nothing could take the place of that special event, so that we didn't, you know, double book. So I really think that this is a key. It can be a real source of stress if you don't have a way to handle the administration of a family. Who knew? Like, you know, when you're when I was a single girl, I had no idea how hard it was. I think if you ever babysat, you kind of have a little insight to, well, there's a lot going on in a family. But until you actually run your own family. And when you start having children and then your children are in swimming lessons and playing soccer and in drama and taking an instrument, and you just have to figure out, okay, what does that look like for us? Because we want to be really careful with our time. And I've probably talked about this before, but we want to make sure we have scheduled time for family nights, scheduled down time, so that I'm not always running, you're not always running, our husbands aren't always running, our children aren't running, that there is built into our plan, our schedule, our calendar, time to just rest and time to be still. And I know that, you know, we know of the Sabbath, but really the Sabbath was a command that was given to the Israelites when God pulled them out of Egypt. He laid out that command that on the seventh day to honor him, to give him his due. But it was also the intent of just taking time to rest. No other nation had been given that place of rest, and that was a command for God's people. So we need to still adopt that, especially in the days in which we're living. And we don't want our kids to have that frantic, hurried pace in their hearts and in their minds. So we want to, even in those administrative conversations, yeah, it's just kind of taking a look. We're really doing the action points of our family. But we need to have some insight as we look ahead at what is going on in our family, and then we can really get the pulse of how active are we, how restful are we, and when can my kids just be home to play? You know, all of those things that we desire for our children. So we have informal conversations, administrative conversations. The third one is the one I really struggle with. And these are the challenge conversations. And these are the conversations that are dealing with hard issues. Often they're very delicate conversations to resolve a conflict. Oh, and these conversations they're that talking through disagreements, talking through disappointment, talking through hurts and where you've been wounded or where you've wounded somebody else. And what can happen is that, you know, this is kind of like those conversations where your heart just gets really frantic. In fact, my husband's out of town right now, and when he gets home today, we have to have a challenge conversation. So something that I have practiced, because I really am not very good at this, and this is probably the hardest thing for me in marriage, to be perfectly honest, is to have these conversations that are really difficult, that are dealing with finances or dealing with something that is a hurt or dealing with a conflict that Greg and I have had. And I'm going to go back to my parents again. I think having the way my parents were I never saw them ever, never saw my parents argue. And so because of that, when I went into marriage, even dating, when Greg and I would date, anytime we had a disagreement or an argument, I thought, oh my gosh, now we're gonna break up, because I never saw that modeled before me, some people call it fight fair, where you are able to have disagreements, you're able to have, you know, you have your opinion, he has his opinion on even how what happened. And so this for me is something that I've really had to practice. So here's something that this is like one of my little tips that I help myself with. So when we have to resolve a conflict, so here's what I do. I literally have to picture Greg and I, we're on the same team, because I very quickly jump to, he's on one side and I'm on the other. And so I've just had to, in my head, I have to picture we're on the same side. And then, so I picture us like, we love Wisconsin Badgers, so we both have our Badger shirts. So I picture us in our Badger shirts and we're on the same side of the team. And then standing on the other side is our issue or the conflict or whatever. So we, as a team, are tackling the issue or whatever the conflict is, whatever needs, whatever disagreement there was, or even it's not even always a disagreement. It might be like he wasn't clear on something or I wasn't clear on something. And so it's that miscommunication thing again. So if these kind of conversations create in you like tension or frustration, maybe even anger or passive aggressive behavior, there are great resources that can help with that. One book that I've read and I really, really love it and I keep going back to it is Danny Silk's book called Keep Your Love On. And in that book, he talks about relationships and just the challenge that, I mean, you know, we're imperfect human beings. And so you're going to have conflict. I mean, every relationship is going to have conflict. So it's just a great book to help. How do you keep your love on in the midst of hard conversations? So I think for girls, I think for women, I think a few tips would be that we have to, and this is, I'm speaking to myself, avoid mind reading. So I cannot even tell you how many times Greg, like I get mad at Greg and he comes up to me and I tell him I'm upset and he's like, well, you had a whole conversation with me and I wasn't even in the room. I may not even have been in the same city. And I worked myself up because I was thinking what he was thinking and oh my goodness sake. So I have to remind myself I can't read his mind and I cannot assume what he's thinking about whatever upset me. Oh my goodness. The other tip that I want to share is to really be specific about whatever you're feeling the issue is. We have to be able to clarify it in order to bring it to the surface. I think the as specific as you can be, and what also happens with that, if you can pull emotion out of it, and kind of like what I was stating just a few minutes ago, if you can kind of put the issue on the other side of the room so that you and your spouse are on the same team, so you can look at the issue and try not to have all those emotions attached to it. So just look at it, like look at the facts. What was the circumstance? What, you know, what happened? And pull out the emotions out of it. But be as specific as you can. And then something else that we've practiced, and I don't know, I'm still not comfortable with it, but I get the point of it, is to use that active listening. So I hear you saying, I think that is very effective. It sounds, when you do it, especially when you do it, like, you know, just when you first start doing it, it sounds really hokey because, you know, so what I hear you saying is, but it really does help clarify. So when I'm having a fit or when I'm trying to have a conversation with Greg about a conflict, something that's challenging, if he can say to me, so what I hear you saying is this, what that does is if I haven't been specific, I'm able to say, oh, no. Here's actually what I mean. Like, so from being specific about that challenge or that issue, the act of listening really helps to bring out the real issue and bring it to the surface. So I hear you saying, or I feel, this is how I feel. Be careful. And Greg and I have both really grown in this from the time we were married where we didn't know what we were doing. So we were yelling at each other all the time, literally. But don't blame your husband for making you feel a certain way. And he, you know, same men, husbands, don't blame your wife for making you feel a certain way. Because each one of us we need to be responsible for our own feelings. No one can make me feel a certain way. No one can make Greg feel a certain way. So we all have our own individual responsibility. And I know that these challenging conversations, there's so many emotions that feel raw that are connected to them. And this is something, I mean, we've been married 32 years and we're still growing in it. And I think we'll just continue to grow in it. We don't have as hardly, there aren't many these kind of challenge conversations anymore. I think in the beginning there were everything felt like it was a conflict. But as we've grown and matured, and you know, that oneness piece, we're able to have those conversations. Another tip I just want to share with you before we go on to the last one that we have found to be very effective for us is that when we have to have these hard conversations, we often go for a walk. And there's something about being side by side. So we're not sitting across from each other. We're not, and as I shared with you, we try to stay on the same team. But when we're on a walk, there's something about, like, we're not gazing, you know, at each other's eyes or throwing daggers at each other's eyes. But instead, we're able to just kind of be, like, kind of talk things through. And I don't know, there's something about the walking and the talking. And there's this, there's an intimacy that's that side by side, but it's not as intense as face to face. So we've had really great success. If this has been an area that's kind of a challenge for you in your marriage, give that a try if you haven't tried that already. And I would love to hear, like, what are some of the tips that you would share about having to have these hard conversations, challenging conversations. And I'd love to hear what you do and how you guys resolve some of these tough things, because they do need to be resolved. Otherwise, it just stays hidden deep within and it becomes this seething. You know, that's where offense comes from. That's where bitterness just kind of lands. And I spent too many of my early years with my husband in that place of bitterness, and we'd have an argument and all of a sudden everything for the last 5 years comes tumbling out. You know, yeah, we don't need that. You don't need that in your marriage. Your kids don't need to hear that. So be willing to have these hard conversations. And actually, when they're resolved, even in the midst of it, but when they're resolved, this creates great intimacy. All these create greater intimacy. But when you can work through problems together, it also just gives you that platform of, okay, we did that before, we can do this again. Every conversation then gets easier. All right, the last one is the fun one. And these are life-giving conversations. These are kind of proactive conversations about meaningful things, things that really matter. These are the moments where you connect on sharing hopes, sharing dreams, really sharing your inner life with one another, talking about those things that really matter, dreaming for future things. Seriously, this type of communicating grows couples that they are then fully known with one another. And this truly is my favorite kind of conversation, probably Greg's favorite kind of conversation too, but it does take time. So it's not like something you could, you know, you can't do it on the run. When we love to travel, and so when we, and we love to drive. So when we drive, that is our talking time. And so we'll have ideas of things we want to talk about. And then we have time that's built in. Even when our kids were little, we used car time when the kids weren't awake. Well, sometimes they were awake and playing, you know, in the back seat. We would just have that. We would make that time very, we were very intentional about our time. We still are. We're very intentional about travel time, driving time. And this is, it's fun because you learn things about your spouse. We will always be learning about our spouse. We will never get to the point where we know it all about them. And it's fun. And I think we grow and change as well as we mature and as you spend time together. So even the way that I might have answered some of the kind of the questions that we posed to one another maybe 10 years ago, it's changed for me now in the place that I am today. So when we had young kids at home, I had this little book on, like, conversation starters that was just right next to my, like, on my nightstand next to my bed. And we didn't do it every night, you know, because we were exhausted a lot of the time, as young parents are. But when we, you know, if we put the kids to bed and we could sneak into bed a little early, one of us would just, or if we weren't, you know, quite that exhausted, we would just grab, one of us would grab it and just say, okay, let's do a conversation starter and just ask a question. And that was a fun way to begin to grow really deeper in intimacy and to find out what are the dreams. I think, you know, when you date, you share a lot of what you as an individual have thought about and dreamt about. But when you get married and then you have children, and you begin this life together that does evolve and does mature, and where you do, not to steal from the Jerry Maguire movie, but you complete me, not like in a weird way, but you really do. You like puzzle pieces, you fit together. And I think the dreams that you begin to dream together are different than the dreams that you had when you first entered your marriage, when you were dreaming a lot of things by yourself. So there's some research out that talks about that if you can have 10 minutes of meaningful conversations a day, like just to really talk about things that really matter, that it truly divorce-proofs your marriage. And it not only divorce-proofs your marriage, it makes your marriage healthy. It makes your marriage full of intimacy and something. There's a connection spirit to spirit that just happens that keeps you, that oneness, I want to say like as a really high value. And so I just want to, there's a few fun things that we've done, little starters that you can take these and you can think about them for yourself or share them with your spouse. If you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one ability or quality, what would it be? I mean, I think when we ask these questions, and these are fun, these are just fun questions to dream about. I think we get to have an insight to the inner man, the inside of our spouse. What would constitute a perfect day for you? Greg and I actually did this one a couple weeks ago, and literally we had the exact same perfect day. So that's a big score for us. I can tell you 32 years ago, my perfect day and his perfect day would have been complete opposite. Is there something that you've dreamed of doing for a long time? And what holds you back from doing it? You really find out what's going on the inside of somebody for them to share that with you. How can I grow in my communication with you? What things are important for me to know? Another one, what are you looking forward to in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years? Here's another one. When do you feel most loved by me? You can use these meaningful conversations to really, you know, to ask some of those maybe harder kind of questions where we're trying to discover, how can I love you more? How can I show you, you know, more admiration? What is it that you really need from me? Like, you know, there's a variety of ways that you can take these questions. You can begin to dream about what it looks like for your kids. Maybe it's, where do we want to take our kids on vacation? Let's start planning some things out in the next 5 years. Where do you want to go? So that these dreams can be, these meaningful conversations can be fun. Maybe it's talking about, how do we disciple our kids? What does it look like? How can we involve others? How can we involve our community? The things, these meaningful conversations, and we call them life-giving conversations, they're the whole point of them is for us to go deep in our understanding for one another and to grow in intimacy and to bond each other together like this glue that cannot be separated. Here's a couple more and then we'll wrap up. What dreams do you have for us as a couple? And the last one, if you could go anywhere with me, where would you take me? I just think those are fun. Those are fun things to dream about. So those are the four types of communication. So it's informal conversations, administrative conversations, challenge conversations, and these life-giving conversations. All right. Well, I want to encourage you in your relationship with your spouse and your relationship with your kids and with your friends. Our desire is that we'd walk with right relationships being rightly related to the right people. So I want to encourage you to just take some time to have meaningful conversations with your husband or your wife. Have meaningful conversations with your kids. Have meaningful conversations with your friends. And grow an intimacy in those relationships that really matter most to you. Spend your priority is to spend time on those relationships, those that really, really matter. All right, that is it for today. If you want to connect with me, kristincheetah.com. Check out my website, and there's a place to contact me from there. Have a great week, and I will chat next week with you.